tonight. And again, it is good to be here tonight, and I want to thank the church for all what they did for the missionaries this week and the blessing that they were to them. And we enjoyed ourselves, me and my family, getting to know them better, spending some time with them, and everything like that. And again, do tonight go by the tables. If you don't have a prayer card, pray for them. And the Lord will lead them and guide them, provide whatever needs they had. And again, it is good to be here tonight. If you will, take your Bibles tonight. Turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 1 tonight. Romans chapter number 1, we're going to look at a few verses here and see what the Lord has for us tonight. Romans chapter number 1 tonight. Also tonight, if you're interested, we were able to design and get our new prayer cards in. And so Garrison's a lot bigger in this picture than our old ones. And so if you're interested in those, I've got some of those with me tonight. If you'd like to have one of those, please get with me. I'll be glad to give you one of them this evening. And then Stephanie today, she was in jail today and was able to go in and teach a character lesson there in the Montgomery County Jail. I got it right this time. And I believe she said they had one lady saved today. So we thank the Lord for that and what the Lord did there in the jail just down the road, down in Troy, North Carolina. And so pray for that lady as she's now been saved. Pray the Lord will continue to work in her life and direct her to where she needs to be. Romans chapter number 1 tonight, and I want to begin reading in verse number 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. For I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be in thy house, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the good day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to hear about missions, Lord, a missionary going to Spain. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, as we prepare to close the mission conference, I pray, God, the work in our heart would continue to go on. Lord, I pray, God, that we would continue to be stirred for missions and what you would have us to do and what part you would have us to play. Father, I pray tonight that you'd please, Lord, empty me of myself. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Remove any sin, forgive any sin, anything that would hinder you using me tonight, Father. I pray you'd give me clarity of thought and speech. Lord, I pray you'd give me good pace as I preach tonight. And then tonight, I pray for my audience. May they listen with open ears and open hearts. And Lord, be receptive to the word of God. Do a work in our hearts tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that Paul is writing to the church at Rome. In fact, the Apostle Paul, as we know, had never yet quite had the opportunity to go to Rome itself. But he had a great desire to see these folks in the city of Rome. In fact, in our text tonight, in verse number 13, he says that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you. Paul had intentions of going to Rome, but for one reason or another, that door never seemed to open till later in his life. I say tonight that oftentimes we have good intentions and oftentimes we have purposed in our heart to do something, but sometimes roadblocks may appear. And for whatever reason, there was a roadblock that prevented Paul from going to Rome. Notice we can take note from the scriptures tonight, and we see in the scriptures tonight the burden that Paul had upon his life. In fact, in verse 14, he says this, he says, I am a debtor. A debtor. Paul understood that he himself was in debt, that he himself owed something to the world. Tonight, by way of introduction, I'd like to point out a few things. Number one, I want to notice tonight who he was in debt to. Who he was in debt to. Notice tonight in our text, he says here, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Number one, the Apostle Paul was a debtor to the Greeks. Now understand this, historically, the Greeks were known as intellectuals. They were a very intelligent, scientifically driven culture. They were folks that had a lot of knowledge about them. In fact, you think about the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill. They had built an altar there to the unknown God. They had a form of religion, a form of worship, but it was a form that they said, we are smarter or we know more than you and your God. Paul was indebted to those that were intellectual, those that had understanding and knowledge. Secondly, it says here that he was indebted to the barbarians. To the barbarians. Now, the barbarians are exactly what that word describes. They were a rough bunch of people. They did not have a lot of education. In my mind, when I think about a barbarian, I think about Conan the Barbarian, or I think about a Viking or somebody like that. They were just rough around the edges. They had very difficult lives. They had very short lives. They had very hard lives. And in fact, they were barbaric in their behavior. But the Apostle Paul said that he was a debtor as well, not only to those intellectuals, but he was a debtor also to those barbarians. Thirdly, the Apostle Paul then uses this term, both to unto the Greeks and to the barbarians, and both to the wise and the unwise. Notice the term both. In that term, the Apostle Paul covers the entire world. He says that I am indebted to every man that walks the face of the earth. Whether that man has culture and intellectual, intellect, whether that man is of great ability, or whether that man is of barbaric practice, the Apostle Paul said that he was indebted to those folks. Notice secondly tonight, by way of introduction, what did Paul owe these folks? Well, number one, the Apostle Paul owed to them the fact that he needed to preach to them. Notice he says, so as much as in me, I am ready to what? Preach. To preach. Paul owed the debt to these folks of proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these individuals. Paul had a desire. Paul realized that he had a responsibility, if you will, to preach the gospel. You think about in the life of Paul and everywhere that the Apostle Paul preached, Paul had preached in Jerusalem. You could say that that was the religious crowd, if you will. Paul then also had preached in Athens. That was the Greek, the intellectual crowd, if you will. And now Paul wanted to preach to the Romans. That would have been the ones given to government and understanding government. So the Apostle Paul said that he was indebted to these folks to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, not only was he indebted to them to preach the gospel, but he was indebted to them for the gospel. Notice Paul realized he owed the whole world the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about tonight, each one of us as individuals that are born again, one of the greatest debts we owe this world is we owe them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the brother tonight stood and talked about those in Spain, and he thought about how that himself and that other missionary was the only ones in that country that could reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in that moment the dear brother realized that he was a debtor to those men and women in Spain. I think about the brother going to Germany as he lived there and he lived amongst those folks. He realized that he was a debtor to those folks that lived in Germany. I think about the inmates that we deal with and how that we go and all that we do. I'm a debtor to those men and women to take them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul owed them the power of God unto salvation. He saw his world and he knew what they had need of. And that need was the gospel. And Paul said, I am in debt because I need to carry the gospel to these folks. Then thirdly, not only did he owe them the gospel, but he owed them faith. Verse 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul was saying that he owed them the free gift of salvation through faith. We understand tonight that salvation cannot be purchased. If we had all the money in the world, we could not buy our way into heaven. We could not purchase that ticket. We could not give enough. We could not dig deep enough. We could not run up a credit debt high enough in order to buy our way in heaven, into heaven. Yet many people still today are trying to buy their way into heaven. Then I think about salvation cannot be worked for. It cannot be gained, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, oftentimes with dealing with people, you'll hear all types of things. Well, I go to church. That's a work. I was baptized. That's a work. I read my Bible. That is a work. That is something we are trying to do in order to go to heaven. Salvation cannot be worked for. Thirdly, salvation cannot be inherited. I cannot leave my children salvation. They have to come to salvation through the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ on their own account and their own accord. I can point them in the right direction, but they have to make that decision. So salvation cannot be inherited. Salvation cannot be acquired. But salvation is given for mankind to receive freely as a gift by faith. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul realized that he was a debtor, and he owed these folks the gospel. He owed these folks preaching, and he owed these folks the faith that had saved him. Tonight, I say, like Paul, we are debtors tonight. Every one of us tonight that are born again and know Christ as our personal Savior, we owe a debt to society, if you will. We owe a debt to mankind. We owe a debt to the lost and dying world that lives around us. I think about tonight, we as believers need to realize quickly that we have the answer to every problem the world faces. You think about it tonight, the world faces many problems. Government faces many problems. People face many problems. But where have we found answers to all our problems? Because we have been born again and because we have put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ourselves may not have the answer, but we now know the one who has the answer. And we can go to him and seek power and seek answers to our prayers. And so tonight we are debtors. As I begin to study about the thought this evening concerning being debtors, I was begin thinking about in 2 Kings chapter 7 in verse number 9. And for sake of time, we won't get into this tonight, but basically what has happened is the nation of Israel, Jerusalem had been besieged, and God had delivered the nation of Israel from the nation of Syria. In this siege, it had gotten really bad, and finally there were some lepers that decided, you know what, we've had enough of starving to death, we're dead men anyhow, let's go out to the Syrians and just see if maybe they'll take us in and we can live a little longer. In 2 Kings 7 and verse number 9, the Bible says, then said they one to another, this is the lepers having the conversation, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. We hold our peace. Now you say, what are they talking about? When those lepers got out to where the camp of the Syrians were, they were all gone. God had delivered the nation of Israel. And he had delivered them in such a way that those Assyrians basically left everything. They left their gold, they left their weaponry, they left their food, they left their campsite burning, and everything that the city of Jerusalem needed was right outside of the walls of Jerusalem. These lepers had stumbled upon it, and they said that they're not doing good. This is a day of glad tidings. They said, we hold our peace. It says, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. They said, fellas, something's going to happen to us if we don't do something, if we don't do the right thing here. He says, now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. These lepers said, listen, we've got to tell somebody that the answer to all their needs, the answer to their problems, was just outside the gates of the city. I think about tonight, we as believers need to realize that we must needs go tell somebody. We have the answer, we have the gospel, we have the preaching, and we need to go tell somebody that the answer is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the old saying, and you've heard it before, what if somebody was to find the cure to cancer and keep it to themselves? That would be an awful selfish thing to do. But you think about it tonight, each one of us know the answer to have eternal life. Each one of us know how to have our sins forgiven. Each one of us knows how to be born again. And how selfish it is for us to keep it to ourselves. We must go and we must tell somebody. And so tonight, for the time that I simply have remaining this evening, I would like to preach on the thought of our debt to the world. Our debt to the world this evening. As I begin to think about this thought about the debt that we owe to the world, I realize several things. Number one, in order to pay our debt to the world, we must realize, number one, that we have a debt. that we have a debt. The Apostle Paul said in verse 14, I am a debtor. He said, I am personally responsible for this debt. I know many of us throughout life have maybe had a credit card. Maybe for whatever reason we've allowed that credit card to get away from us. And there comes a time where we have to assume responsibility and say, you know what? That is my debt. And I've got to pay off that debt. I think about me and my wife and our family back in October. What did I do? I signed on the dotted line and I inquired a debt of a house. And it is my responsibility to meet that payment, to take care of that mortgage. And I have a debt to pay to that bank. Praise the Lord for that. But as we consider that tonight, we need to take responsibility for our debt. Think about our personal debt tonight. Number one, think about the debt we owe to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about tonight, our sin debt has what? Been forgiven and totally taken away. Nobody could ever have done that for us. Nobody in this life. And you think about what Christ has done in forgiving us of our sin debt. I don't know about you tonight, but we need to realize that we are indebted to Him for all He has done for us. I'm thankful tonight that not only my past sins have been taken care of, my present sins have been taken care of, but all my future sins till the day I die are taken care of. And I owe a great debt to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you begin to consider tonight where our lives could be and where we might be tonight and where our lives was headed, many of us ought to be able to stand up and say, I am a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about these missionaries and myself. Where would we be tonight? What direction would we be going in? How would our families be tonight? What are some things that we'd be facing because of the fact that we did not know Christ? But because we know Christ, we are a debtor to Him. Now understand this tonight. We can never repay the debt that God has given concerning salvation. Nor would Christ ask us to pay this debt. But what Christ would ask us to do is to give our lives for Him. I'm thankful that He's not a hard taskmaster tonight, but He has told us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I think about tonight, as debtors, we are greatly indebted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to take personal responsibility to do all we can, not necessarily to repay the debt, but to live in a way that would be grateful for the fact that He has forgiven our debt. Then I think about, secondly, not only do we owe a debt to the Lord Jesus, but we owe a debt to sinners. We have the gospel. We have the truth. We have the way. We have the light. If, as we've already said, if someone was to solve cancer, the cure for cancer, to keep it for themselves, it would be awful selfish tonight. So why in the world do we keep eternal life to ourselves? I think about the men in which we deal with in the prisons and some of the things that we come up against. And I think about those men being bound and being under bondage. And what it would be if I would just go in that prison and say, how are y'all doing today? I hope you're going to do all right. I hope everything turns out all right and walk away. I've done nothing for that man. I've given him no hope. I've given him no encouragement. What if the brother was to go to Spain and he would go over there and go up to those folks in Spain and say something to the effect, well, I hope you figure out why Roman Catholicism's wrong. What if the brother was to go up to the ones there in Germany and that are engrossed in Lutheranism and Islam and say, well, I hope you find the real Allah or whatever it may be. We've done nothing for them. But what we must realize that we are in debt to the sinners. I'm glad tonight that someone was indebted to me as a sinner. That a pastor was willing to say, I owe a debt to that sinner to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. That soul winner that knocked on our door, they said, I owe a debt to that sinner to try to reach that sinner with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. To that one that printed the tract or paid for the tract. To that one that gave to the mission fund so that the missionary could go forth. So that we could receive the gospel. Somebody realized that they owed a debt to sinners. I say tonight, Tabernacle Baptist Church owes a debt to the sinners that live in Salisbury and Granite Quarry and Rockwell and China Grove and Coulomb and wherever we may be at in Hildebrand down the road and all of those places. We owe a debt to those men and women because they are sinners and because we have the truth. Thirdly, tonight I say we owe a debt to missions. Missions. Men and women who have surrendered their lives willing to go in our stead to a place that we normally would not go. The joke this week with the missionaries have been about these fellas and the ones going to Bolivia and different places, talking about flying, you know. And this is what I say always when I hear flying. Lo, I am with you always. That's my verse, you know. I don't like flying. I've done it, but I don't care anything about it. I don't have any desire to get on an airplane. My mind thinks funny. I think they built it with the cheapest materials. They built it with the cheapest labor. They trained the cheapest way they could to train the pilot. That's how my mind works. But I'm thankful that these men and these women are willing to get on that plane and fly however many hours to somewhere else. I'm thankful that they're willing to go in my stead. And as a believer, as a member of this church, I am indebted to them because they're willing to go. I think about tonight, we should realize that we owe them our prayers. Our prayers. You know, I think about these prayer cards, you know. We give these out all over the place. How many of us really take time to pray over these? How many of us really take time to consider these? I think about one old preacher who every now and again, he'll text me and he says, your prayers and your supplication have been brought before the throne of grace. Why? He gets out my prayer card and he prays over it. I tell you, it would do something for a missionary to get a letter, to get a phone call, to get an email and say, hey, we got your prayer card out and we prayed for you. We owe them the debt of prayer. Not only do we owe them the debt of prayer, but we owe them the debt of our support. Whether it be through funds, whether it be through encouragement, whether it be through material, whatever it may be, we owe them the debt of our support. Why? They're going where we won't go. They're willing to go where maybe we can't go. And they're going representing us and going in our stead. I say tonight that they are our ambassadors in the field going to the foreign place. And then I think about the debt the missionary owes to the church. You say you're going to preach to yourself tonight? I'm going to preach to myself tonight. Why? Because as missionaries, we owe a debt to the churches. They support us. They pray for us. They give to us. They supply our needs. And in doing all of that, and by the way, before I get, thank y'all so much for the lawnmower. I had it wrote down to get that down. I forgot all about it. But I do appreciate that. And you don't know the blessing that it'll be to my family. Okay, the rabbit run. Back to what we were thinking about. As missionaries, we have a responsibility to the local churches. I think about when we say we're going to go do this and we're going to go do that, we're obligated to fulfill that. Because we are in a contract with local believers that says we're willing to support you through prayer and through finances. And if they're willing to support us through prayer and finances, we ought to give our utmost best to do whatever it is we've said we are going to do. We ought to fulfill that promise. I think about tonight, we owe the debt of work to the local church. Building the churches, as the brother said, going over there and seeing the renovation going on and all of that. You think about it tonight, most missionaries, when they go to a foreign field, they don't have this. They don't have a church building. I remember going into Mexico and the church building was made out of cinder block, basically 8, 9, 10 foot tall, with metal sheeting on top of it and pipes that run across. That was the church building. Somebody had to build that. Most of the time, mission work involves more than just soul winning. When you're a missionary, you become a plumber, you become a roofer, you become a seamstress, whatever you need to be for the gospel. As missionaries, we owe the church the work. Not only that, but we owe the church to be faithful. No matter how difficult it may come, no matter how difficult it may happen in our lives, we say, hey, God's called us to this. We must needs be faithful to fulfill the promise that God has given us. And so tonight, as we consider this matter of being debtors, we are debtors tonight to this matter. We must realize what our debt is. We must realize that we have a debt. Then I say, secondly, tonight, we must be ready to pay the debt. If you'll notice, Paul said in verse number 15, he said, I am what? Ready to preach the gospel. Paul said, I am ready. This heart and soul was ready to pay the debt. I say tonight, how is our readiness? Where are we at in our readiness to serve the Lord? I think about tonight, are we purposed? Paul said his purpose was what? To come to Rome. Purpose means resolve. He means he was resolute. It means he intended to by design. Missions and gospels takes, getting the gospel out takes a readiness, a preparedness to go and to give. Think about tonight and throughout the week we've been talking about faith, promise, giving. How is our readiness in giving? How is our readiness in saying, Lord, this is what you've laid on my heart. That's what I'm going to give. That's what I'm going to do. I think about his missionaries and maybe God laying on somebody's heart to go somewhere. How is your readiness if God would lay upon your heart to go somewhere around the world? You know, it's a sad thing that we live in a day and age which there are a lot of preachers that have been called, but they're not willing to leave the community. They're not willing to leave the pew in which they sit on to go somewhere else. Now, I know that there's need of pastors, and I know God may call a man to serve in his local church and his local community. I understand that. But what I am saying is we need to get to the place where we realize and say, God, I'm not going to put you in a box, but I'm going to say, God, wherever you want me to go, that's where I'm willing to go, and that's where I'm willing to serve. Then I think about not only are we purposed, but secondly, are we prepared? Are we prepared? Notice he said that I might have some fruit in verse number 13. Paul was looking to reap a harvest. When's the last time we went looking to reap? You know, oftentimes we go out and sow seed, we go out and labor, we go out and give ourselves, we go out and serve in some capacity. But when's the last time that we actually went looking for God to really do something? I think about we have opportunities when we come prepared. I think about when we come prepared through study. When we come prepared through study, when we come prepared through prayer, when we come prepared through giving. And so tonight we need to simply be ready to pay the debt that we owe to society concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And then I say, thirdly tonight, we are not to be ashamed of the debt. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The word ashamed means affected by shame, confused by guilt, having consciousness of guilt. I think about tonight, I only do that here. I don't know why. It's Miss Lisa what she does. Lord, let him mess up. That's what you do. But anyway, I think about this matter of being conscious, being ashamed. Understand tonight, we're not to be ashamed of the gospel. You know, the world may look at the gospel and say, oh, it's too simple. And they may look at the gospel and they may mock and they make fun of it. They may look at the gospel and resist it. But understand this, it is how God has intended men and women to be born again in the day and age in which we live in. We ought not to be ashamed that we are part of that bloody religion, as some have called it. That it is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven. It's not by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight that I have no need to be ashamed of the fact that Jesus Christ shed His blood so that my sins could be forgiven. It has been called the bloody religion. It has been called the narrow way religion. And I still believe there ain't but one way to get to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You go into these prisons, they say, oh, there's many ways, or I'm finding a way, or whatever it may be. These men have probably dealt with folks on the foreign field. They're finding their own way. But understand this tonight, the gospel in which we preach is the narrow way religion. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the childlike faith religion. Men are refusing to humble themselves like a child and come to Christ. But I'm thankful tonight that it takes the faith of a child to be born again according to the Scriptures. I'm thankful tonight that it is the whosoever religion. I don't care what the Calvinists say. I don't care what anybody else says. The gospel is a whosoever will, let him come. It has no stipulations on it. It has no reserve on it. God intends to save every man, every woman, every child that draws breath on this planet. It is a whosoever will religion. It is a Bible-based religion. It is a Christ coming again religion. It is a changed life religion. It is a born again, following Christ, desiring for souls religion. We have no need to be ashamed of the religion and the faith in which we find in the Word of God. There's no reason to be ashamed of the gospel we proclaim. Secondly, we have no reason to be ashamed of the power. Like we said Sunday morning, that dynamite that God has given us. We can only realize the fact and rely on the fact that the power is not ours, but it is the Lord Jesus. Do not be ashamed that we have no power, but be glad that we have no power because Christ has all the power. We have no ability in ourselves to cause a man to be born again. All we can do is point him in the direction, give him the Scripture, and tell him what the Bible says about it. We are weak, but Christ is strong. And Christ takes those who are broken, those who are simple, those that are hindered, those that are distressed, and He uses them by His power and by His might. I think about my own life. I'm a nobody, ladies and gentlemen. I have no education very much. I don't know a whole lot of things. I'm not always the smartest guy in the world. I deal with fear and anxiety. I deal with all types of things. But God has chosen to use me in some way and in some capacity. I think about these men tonight and others that may stand behind this pulpit. You say, well, I've got this issue and I've got that issue and I've got this problem and I've got that problem. Read the Word of God. God uses men with problems. Moses couldn't talk. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Peter was hard-headed. All of those men God used in a mighty way. Noah got off the ark and got drunk. I don't know all those things, but God uses those people. And then thirdly tonight, I think about this matter of not being ashamed not only of the gospel, the power, but not being ashamed of the convert. It says to everyone that believeth. As we've already said, Jesus Christ is no respecter of person. When a person trusts Christ, we owe them the debt of accepting them as Christ accepted them. Sometimes we look at people and question, did they really get saved? They may have really gotten saved, but it may take a little while to grow. We don't always grow at the same rate and the same pace. We need to realize that we don't need to be ashamed of age. I remember a few years ago in the state of Alabama, we were doing a vacation Bible school, and I'll never forget it. I asked those kids, I asked them, I said, are any of y'all in here saved? And one young boy raised his hand, and this is what he said. He said, I'm getting saved tonight. And I said, oh, really? I like that. I said, I tell you what, you hang out after class, and we'll talk about that. Sure enough, after class, they'd all gone to get ice cream. It was known that they were going to get ice cream. There sat that five-year-old little boy. Me and another man took a Bible, and we did the best we could to explain to that young man the gospel. We asked him, do you believe I'm a sinner? Yes, I believe I'm a sinner. Do you believe that Jesus can forgive you of your sin? Yes, I believe Jesus can forgive me of my sin. Would you like to ask Christ in your heart? I surely would like to do that. He bowed his head in his own words, prayed, and trust Christ. Oh, did that five-year-old boy get to say it? I have no idea, but it's between him and the Lord, and we did what we were supposed to do, and I'm to accept the fact that he was born again that night. Whether it truly happened or not, I don't know, but one day in eternity, I'll find out. I think about tonight, no matter what age they may be, we need to accept them and not be ashamed of them. We not only need to not be ashamed of the age, but not be ashamed of the race. The race. It don't matter if they're black, white, orange, green, whatever they are. We don't need to be ashamed of that race whatsoever. It's a sad day. We live in a nation where we are so diverse in our culture and so divided in our nation, when the fact of the matter is we're all created equal. We're all sinners before God. We all have a soul and we all need to be born again. And whether a Hispanic or a German or a black or a white or a green or an Asian, whatever comes to the saving knowledge of Christ, we ought not to be ashamed of the fact that they've been born again. Not only that, we ought not to be ashamed of an individual's ability. We ought not to be ashamed of an individual's intellect. We ought not to be ashamed of the sinner or the sin that the sinner has been forgiven of. You know, somebody said, how can you go to the child molesters? How can you go to the murderers? How can you go to the rapists? I don't know how. It's by the grace of God, but God died for them, and I'm to accept that person's repentance just like I would accept the church member's repentance tonight. I think about tonight, Christ saves murderers, adulterers, sodomites, liars, cheaters, drunks, drug addicts, high class, low class, Yankees, rednecks, Bama fans, Georgia Bulldog fans. It does not matter. The Lord Jesus is in the saving business tonight. I think about tonight, he's interested in Spaniards, he's interested in Germans, he's interested in Bolivians, he's interested in Costa Ricans, and he's interested in inmates, and he's willing to save those men and women. So in closing tonight, I simply say we owe a debt, every one of us tonight. Number one, do we realize the magnitude of our debt? So many times in life, we get so caught up with what's going on around us, we don't realize the debt we owe to the Lord Jesus for what he did for us on the cross. We don't realize the debt that we owe the sinner, that we might somehow reach him with the gospel of Christ. Then secondly, are we ready to pay the debt? Are we willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes, wherever you want me to go, whatever I have to do, I'm willing to try to reach somebody with the gospel. And then lastly, are we ashamed of the debt? Too afraid to speak up and say, I am a born-again Christian. I do believe what that Bible says. I do believe that salvation is by grace through faith. And I do believe that a man has to be born again, has to repent of his sins, and has to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you.